Welcome to Miller Kane, A True and Exact History, a serialized novel by Samuel Ligon, published for the first time in The Inlander and broadcast by Spokane Public Radio. Miller Kane is made possible by Sprint and The Inlander. Previously on Miller Kane. For months, Lizzie has been stuck in jail, charged with assault for shooting her estranged husband, Connor. And while behind bars, she turned to Miller Kane to keep her 8-year-old daughter, Carlene, safe. Miller and Carlene have been on the road ever since, staying one step ahead of Connor, who suddenly came back into the picture when he learned that Carlene was set to inherit their massive family fortune. While driving through Missouri, tragedy struck. America's latest mass shooting in a nearby town left 500 people dead, most of them children. And Miller and Carlene stuck around to help, much to the horror of Lizzie. But now, inexplicably, Lizzie is in Missouri too, and she's run into Miller in a coffee shop while Connor is outside in the town square, dangerously close. Thankfully, Carlene is busy, spending the day with one of the town's surviving kids. Now, here's author Samuel Ligon.
Chapter 8, Part 4. "We have to get out of here," Miller told Lizzie, everyone around them watching and listening. "It's not safe." He looked across the square past the kissing couple where Connor had turned toward them, making a full circuit. Miller took Lizzie's hand and tried to lead her out, but she pulled back, yanking her hand away from him. "No," she said. "Where's Carlene?" "She's fine," Miller said, "but we have to go." Connor was adjacent to the fountain now. If he held his course, he'd be on the sidewalk in front of them in less than a minute. "You have to tell me where she is first," Lizzie said. But Miller didn't have to tell her anything. Showing up like she had wasn't right, getting out of jail and failing to tell him when he'd been paying her attorney and taking care of her kid for months. His kid now, too. Miller and Carlene waiting and worrying, having no idea how long Lizzie would be away or how best to live or plan a life. He turned and walked away from her, back into the coffee shop. "Wait," she said. He'd done everything he could for Carlene, walking out of his own life to protect her, to nurture her. Lizzie could not just appear after all this time, as if to say, "Thanks for being such a good mother and father these past 6 months, but her fake father and I are here for the rescue now, so you can piss off and die." Because they were no longer in this together. Raising Carlene was Miller's job now. A mother who went to jail for shooting a man, then got out without telling anyone, was not a good parent. Any judge would see that. Any child advocate. Miller pushed open the door to the street. "Wait," Lizzie said. She could follow if she wanted to, but he wasn't going to be trapped by her like Elvis had been trapped by his mother, his entourage, the Colonel, Priscilla, and all the other women, his loneliness and need falling deeper and deeper into himself. "Please," she said, taking him by the wrist and pulling. Miller yanked himself free. "We have to go," he said. "Connor's back there." Miller's car was 2 blocks away. The motorhome, 30 miles east, Carlene, 20 miles the other direction. He was the only one who knew where she was. "I know he's there," Lizzie said. "Would you wait?" Of course she knew. Miller walked faster. "We're here for Carlene," Lizzie said. Miller had watched Connor jam a screwdriver through the window of Lizzie's front door, breaking into the house to get to Carlene. He'd seen him in Pendleton, handing out flyers calling Miller a kidnapper, a predator, when it was Connor preying on Carlene and her money. "If you'd stop and listen to me," Lizzie said, grabbing his arm again, Miller jerking away again, "I'd tell you what's going on." But the days of her telling him anything were over. He was different now. Everything was different. You can't just show up at a massacre and think you can snatch somebody's kid. Lizzie had to know how much she'd given up, how much had slipped away. That's why she was here, to reclaim Carlene, as if Miller had taken her, when all he'd done was protect her, at Lizzie's request, from Connor and the world. You don't know what he's capable of, Lizzie had told him over and over. Connor on her porch with a screwdriver she was afraid he'd push into her throat. The stink of desperation on him, a junkie who'd do anything for money. Miller, stop, Lizzie said. Don't make me call the cops. He whirled on her. Call them, he said. Go ahead. You'll never see her again. He'd never struck a woman, had almost never struck a man. He'd hit Connor in Lizzie's room with a Madonna to get Waffles out of the house. But he felt the urge toward violence now, something hot and hard at the core of him, radiating, wanting release, wanting to break itself into a million pieces against whatever else it could break. Listen to me, Lizzie said. No, Miller said, you're a liar. So are you, Lizzie said. So is everybody. So what? Can we just talk? The cops hadn't caught him yet and never would. Not here, Miller said. Not anywhere near him. He didn't want her to see his car, to be able to spot him later. But he didn't want to be on the street either, or any place Connor could stumble upon them. Is she even here? Lizzie said, tears coming into her eyes. She's here, Miller said. She's safe. It would be better for Carlene to have a mother and a father. Of course it would. Let's drive, he said. And Lizzie said, to her? And Miller said, away from him. He opened the passenger door and Lizzie climbed in. They'd head toward Mansfield and Laura's house, away from Marquette and Carlene. Lizzie said, I'm not with him, you know. I don't care if you are, Miller said. I need to see my baby, Lizzie said. Please? He had to get them away from people, onto a road where they could move. How long are you going to keep her from me? Lizzie said. He glanced at her and she was crying. Think of how you'd feel, she said, if you couldn't see her. That's exactly what he was thinking of. You tell me this guy's going to hurt her, he said. You shoot him. You tell me he's a junkie. But now somehow you're with him, the man who's going to hurt Carlene, and you want me to hand her over. But I'm not with him, Lizzie said. I told you that. Just wait, Miller said, until we get out of town. They needed to acclimate to each other. They could talk, but she'd have to apologize for not telling him she was out, for just showing up. She'd have to understand that Connor would never be Carlene's father. They passed the abortion graveyard, the field of the fallen unborn. Miller didn't want to look at her. It would be better if they kept moving. He drove until the storm inside him started to settle, and then he said, "Tell me." And he would listen, because once again, he had to figure out what would be best for Carlene, for him, for them, and he had no idea where to begin. We made a deal, Lizzie said, me and Connor. I didn't know what else to do. And then it poured out of her, everything she'd done to get from the Skagit County Jail to Springfield, Missouri, and everything she wanted to do now that she was here. But she wasn't in charge anymore. That was the first thing she had to understand. Miller was.
You've been listening to Miller Kane, A True and Exact History, a novel by Samuel Ligon, published in weekly installments by The Inlander, with archived audio at SpokanePublicRadio.org/MillerKane. Our theme music is by Indian Goat. If you're just hearing Miller Kane for the first time and want to get caught up, you can now find it as a podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and the NPR One app. Subscribe for a new chapter-long podcast each Thursday from now until the novel's conclusion. I'm your producer, Chris Messini. Join us next week for the latest episode of Miller Kane.